Content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast, and this is by Ira Wallace. And today we will start with August, heat and harvest. And being outside in the garden in August's heat and humidity can be tough, but this is also a month of abundant harvests and gleeful experimentation in the kitchen. The best time to enjoy your garden is the cooler hours of early morning. Gather the harvest and think of everything you can make with the abundance. Who can resist a tomato salad with 9 different varieties of heirloom tomatoes, fresh garlic, and sprigs of 7 different basils? We still have many warm days ahead, especially if you're gardening in the lower South. The key to keeping your plants happy and healthy is still rich, well-amended soil and even soil moisture. Irrigate deeply once a week and keep roots cool with a deep layer of organic mulch. We can take some comfort in knowing the worst is behind us. July is usually the hottest month in the Southeast, and we enjoy small breaks in the heat and cooler nighttime temperatures, and anticipate the pleasantly wild autumn days ahead. Mild autumn days ahead. It may feel hot, but we have as much light as we did back in April, and we're losing it fast. Plants need lots of light to grow quickly, and quick early growth is essential to getting seedlings off to a strong start. Start fall and winter crops now, even if winter feels a long way off, to take advantage of the sunshine before we lose it. And here is what we need to do this month. Plan, prepare, and maintain. Roughly map out next year's garden so best choices for winter cover crops can be planted. Pay special attention to planning early spring crops and order any additional seed needed. Make notes in your garden journal about the weather, crop successes, and failures. Learn about groups needing donations or other ways to share your excess produce. Water sweet potatoes and other plants thoroughly and deeply for best production. Water older strawberry plants for next year's crop. Keep them weeded and give them compost. Prepare new strawberry beds for fall planting, compost, till, raise, and mulch. Sort early potatoes, carrots, garlic, and other produce in storage. Keep up with weeding and harvesting to maximize yields and produce quality. Cut back spring-planted chard to encourage new growth. Thin carrots and rutabagas early, 10 days after emergence. Weed earlier transplanted broccoli and other brassicas undersow with clover for a cover crop through next spring. And sow and plant. Sow winter and summer radishes, kohlrabi, turnips, rutabaga, Swiss chard, collards, kale. Cover with row cover against flea beetles, herbs, carrots, beets for fall, and winter storage. Transplant remaining cabbage, broccoli, cauliflower, collards, and broccoli seedlings for fall. Direct sow spinach After the dead nettle has germinated or sprout in fridge for 1 week before planting out. Wait until September if it's really hot. So cover crops, buckwheat, soy, clovers, and oats, or possibly winter barley. In the lower south, transplant quick-ripening, under 80-day tomatoes for fall harvest. Continue weekly sowings of lettuce. Switch to cold-tolerant varieties at the end of the month. In the upper south, early August is your last chance for cucumbers, squash, corn, beans. Now, the juggling act. Make the most of late summer. Throughout our region, we are busy with harvesting, removing spent or declining plants, and preparing beds for the fall garden. Intercropping is one of my favorite ways to make this seasonal puzzle work. All of this juggling lets your plants take advantage of the favorable conditions for rapid growth in late summer, and you'll keep harvesting your summer crops as long as possible. We plant a lot of broccoli, cabbage, and other brassicas that will be in the ground well into cold weather, but not last through spring. We used to keep the ground covered with mulch, but in recent years we have taken to undersowing all of our fall brassicas with a clover cover crop. About a month after transplanting, we weed the area well with a scuffle hoe and broadcast the clover seed over the bed. Either timing this just before a rain or running your sprinkler to settle in the seeds. On a small planting, you can use the bottom of your garden regular hoe or rake to tramp down the soil. Planting lettuce and other greens at the edges of tomato and pepper beds is another combination we like because the taller plants provide shade and will be gone with the first frost. After the frost, you can cut off and remove the tomato plants at ground level, then spread out extra lettuce and greens seedlings to use more of the bed space. Sprinkle on a layer of compost covered by mulch, and your bed of fall salad is complete. In small gardens, you can start small stations of greens anywhere an individual plant has been removed, or where there is space after an earlier planting is harvested. Managing the harvest. When we are planning our dream garden in winter, the harvesting part doesn't seem like work. Somehow, getting those baskets of tomatoes, buckets of beans, and bundles of herbs will happen. It is so much more fun than weeding and watering that we sometimes forget to plan for how we'll get it all done. In our southern exposure trial gardens, we harvest every day. But even in a small garden, you need to plan to harvest at least 2 or 3 times a week. Otherwise, you'll end up with zucchini the size of baseball bats. Harvest often and thoroughly to keep your plants productive and get the highest quality fruits and veggies. Pole beans, crowder peas, summer squash, okra, and tomatoes all produce better with regular harvesting. Keep your crops well picked if you want to keep picking. This maxim is also true for basil, parsley, most annual flowers, and other green herbs. Your vegetables keep on producing while you are on vacation or even out of town for just 2 or 3 days. So ask a family member or neighbor to harvest and enjoy the produce while you are away. Offer to return the favor for them. And when to harvest? Harvest lettuce and leafy greens early in the morning before the day heats up for the sweetest flavor and highest nutrition. Overnight, your plants have been working to hydrate the growing leaves and pump available nutrients out of the soil. So harvest early and move indoors as soon as possible. If you can't get out in the morning, wait until the early evening when it has started to cool down. If you must harvest greens in the heat of the day, soak them in cool water for half an hour before draining and preparing to serve. The reverse rule goes for tomatoes, peppers, melons, eggplant, beans, peas, cucumbers, and summer squash and zucchini. It's best for the plants to be harvested after mid-morning when the dew has dried. This helps prevent the spread of fungal diseases and may also give the sweetest fruits. Tomatoes and melons are sweetest if you leave off irrigating for a few days prior to harvest. And different storage for different crops. Peas are sweetest when eaten within a couple hours of harvest. Root crops like beets, turnips, and carrots can be left in the ground and mulched in well-drained soil for harvest as needed. However, this is only true in late fall when growth stops. Spring and summer crops need to be pulled before they get large and lower quality. If the soil is heavy clay or has other drainage or pest issues, store these root crops in the refrigerator or in a cool basement with high humidity or in buckets of sawdust or sand. Most of us don't have a root cellar, but many have a cool area in the house. These crops may be stored in the fridge, but use the crisper or increase the humidity. Beans, broccoli, cabbages, Brussels sprouts, peppers, cucumbers, summer squash, and zucchini should be refrigerated for best storage. Potatoes must be kept in the dark in a cool room or basement to store properly. Store tomatoes, melons, and eggplants at cool room temperature conditions for best quality and eat as soon after harvesting as possible. Garlic and onions can be harvested anytime it is dry and stored at room temperature. I'll talk a bit more about curing and storing these culinary essentials in the October chapter. Cure winter squash and pumpkins at warmer temperatures. Sweet potatoes can be stored at room temperatures after curing. And sharing the harvest. At the peak of harvest, a well-cared-for edible garden often produces more than the gardener can use and even overwhelms our ability and time to can and freeze. Fortunately, you can share the bounty with friends and family, and it's becoming easier to also share with those in need in your community. According to the USDA Department of Agriculture, 33 million people in our land of plenty, including 13 million children, have substandard diets or must resort to seeking help from a food bank because they cannot always afford the food they need. Groups like Plant a Row for the Hungry and Second Harvest are raising awareness and getting people involved in their local communities to gather and distribute food to those who need it most. The resurgence of community and school gardens is also helping to make gardening accessible to people who don't have the space, the knowledge, or the finances to grow their own food at home. Community and school gardens encourage healthier eating habits, bring neighborhoods together, and connect us to the source of our food while encouraging environmental stewardship, self-reliance, and confidence in the safety of our food. In our town, local businesses, the master gardeners, church groups, farmers, and social agencies have joined together to produce food for our local food pantry and create a teaching garden so others can learn to grow their own fresh, healthy food as well. If you want help, here are some ways to get started. Grow more and donate it to your local food pantry or area food bank through Plant a Row for the Hungry. Join in an effort like the Day of Gleaning in Virginia or arrange to pick fruit from neighborhood trees that would otherwise go to waste. Volunteer at a local community or school garden to share your knowledge and experience. Go online to communicate with others in your area and learn about new ways to help and make a difference. And now, putting up the harvest for winter and beyond. The well-maintained August garden is a wonderland of food calling out to be picked. But for the novice gardener, knowing when to harvest and how to preserve all that bounty can be challenging. One way to learn is to volunteer at a busy community garden or local farm. The Edibles A to Z section offers good information on specific crops, and when we have time after each program, I will be reading from that section. Here are some general suggestions for how to harvest and easy ideas for preserving the harvest. We find that taste is the most helpful factor in determining when a new fruit variety is ready, and everyone on the farm is willing to help keep track of what color the fall gold raspberry is when it's sweetest. How floppy is the fig? What is the smell of a ripening pear? How soft is a persimmon? Our garden is a classroom and we are eager students. Be careful not to break, nick, or bruise vegetables when harvesting. The less they are handled, the longer they will last in storage. Harvest only vegetables of high quality. Damaged goods don't last long and can spread decay to other produce. There are some ways to keep your harvest for even longer. Okay, drying. Dehydrators, solar and electric, are low energy and an easy way to store fruit, tomatoes, peppers, and other produce. Dehydrators for purchase and plans for building homemade solar dryers abound on the web. Many gardeners will use their oven on its lowest setting or just the fan on a convection oven for drying. Local extension offices have great handouts and demonstrations. Freezing. Proper storage in the freezer is a quick option for everything from fruit to already prepared sauces. There is a wide array of freezer plastic bags, vacuum packing, jars, individual portion sizes, and more available to help you fit your freezing efforts to the space and time you have available. Berries are my favorite to freeze. I put them on a tray, freeze overnight, and then put them in freezer bags to use as needed. Canning and pickling. For this, you'll need jars, and more jars. It's how my grandmother did it, and probably yours. Today, the choices are many, from fermented pickles to quick refrigerator jams, water bath canning for acid foods like tomatoes, pressure canning for corn, and other low acid foods. Again, your extension service will be able to help. The root cellar and alternatives. The traditional root cellar lets gardeners keep loads of produce for winter. New gardeners can create similar conditions in a basement. Insulated closet, pantry, or garage. There are three main types of storage areas. 1. Cool and dry, 50 to 60 degree Fahrenheit, and 60% relative humidity. Best for winter squash and pumpkins. 2. Cold and dry, 32 to 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and 65% relative humidity. Best for onions and garlic. And 3. Cold and moist, 32 to 40 degrees Fahrenheit, and 95% relative humidity. Best for most root crops. Potatoes must stay out of the light. Get creative and make something work. Long-term refrigerator storage. This is a compromise and never a perfect choice. Putting vegetables in perforated plastic bags in the refrigerator will provide cold and moist conditions, but only for a moderate amount of time. Fresh produce in sealed bags tends to rot. Outside storage. Traditionally, root crops are left in the ground uncovered, covered with lots of mulch and a prayer that the critters don't find them. And room temperature. Don't forget our southern storage superheroes, sweet potatoes and perennial onions, which can keep up to a year at cool room temperatures out of the light. And now we have some time, so we will go back to that E to Z edibles. And we will continue with beets. Formerly called blood turnips, beets are originally grown for greens, but were replaced by spinach and the closely related chard. We Southerners love these roots pickled. Beets come in yellow or red striped versions, besides the traditional dark blood red. The colorful, tender leaves are good for steaming and add color to salads. Growing. Beets are traditionally planted early in the spring, but in the southeast, I think the best quality beets grow in the cool days of fall. Sow seeds 1/2 to 3/4 inch deep in rows 12 inches apart, directly in the garden from February through early June, and again in early September. Thin to 6 plants per foot for best beets, 3 plants per foot for beets for winter storage, and beets need natural pH-light soil and even moisture. For good yields of tender roots, irrigate and add ashes or lime as needed. Harvesting. Harvest beets when they reach their desired size. Use the early thinning for young greens and baby beets. Most varieties have the best flavor and quality when harvested small, at less than 2 inches diameter. But some storage varieties stay tender as at much larger sizes. Hot weather can cause the roots to toughen. So harvest small if you expect heat. Greens are best from tiny thinning up to 6 inches tall. Leaves at least 1 inch of stems on the roots to prevent bleeding during cooking. The plants survive mild frosts, but bring the roots into storage before the ground freezes solid. And blueberries. Blueberries are the natural choice of small fruit to grow in the southeast. Native rabbit eye blueberries are nearly disease-free, easy to grow, and will live about 20 years. One mature rabbit eye blueberry bush yields 15 pounds of blueberries in a season. In the Upper South, you can also grow high bush blueberries, which are earlier, sweeter, and larger, but require more care. Newer southern high bush varieties let gardeners grow blueberries as far south as Florida. The attractive upright blueberry plants of either type make a great choice for edible landscapes with stunning fall colors, interesting flowers in spring, and loads of beautiful, delicious berries in summer. In addition to taste and appearance, blueberries are ripe with medical advantages. They help lower cholesterol, and studies suggest that blueberries also reduce the risk of some cancers. Growing. Blueberries require acidic soil with pH levels of 4 to 4.5 and plenty of organic material. They need moisture-retentive, well-drained, humus-rich soil with good aeration. Blueberries are shallow-rooted and poor competitors against large-rooted trees, shrubs, and weeds that compete for water and nutrients. All types of blueberries grow best in full sun. Get a soil test and amend the soil a year before planting. First, dig a 3 to 4 foot diameter hole for each plant. Then take 40% of the soil from the hole and mix with 40% pre-moistened sphagnum peat moss and 20% organic compost to ensure continued low pH. Mix in any amendments and add in the hole around the bush after planting, making sure the soil is in good contact with shallow roots. Plant in the spring after all danger of frost has passed, or in the fall once the plants are dormant. Choose at least 2 varieties and space them 4 to 6 feet apart for cross-pollination and better fruit set. Cover the area with 3 to 6 inches of acetic organic mulch, like pine needles, shredded bark, or leaf mold. Renew the mulch yearly and make sure the plants get 1 inch of water per week during the growing season. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. And if you do have any questions or anything you'd like us to answer, please call in and let us know. And next podcast, we will start in September, where it's second spring. Thank you for listening.